Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
Phil Nee, hoping all your trails are happy until we talk again later from WRCO-FM in Richland Center, where the news this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. We're at 44 degrees in RC. Time now for the news update from ABC. The time is 9 o'clock.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump, on the next to last day of his Asian trip, he met with business and government leaders to kick off the APEC summit in South Korea. Tomorrow, he will talk trade with China's Xi Jinping. Hurricane Melissa plowed across Cuba today. On Tuesday, Jamaica was in the crosshairs.
Southwestern Jamaica has taken a direct hit, and with many areas of the island cut off by flooding, it is really hard to know the exact toll that the storm has taken, including the number of deaths, now at 7, but that is expected to rise. The officials say Kingston's airport could reopen as soon as tomorrow for emergency relief flights. President Trump overnight also said the U.S. is prepared to send help.
ABC's Lana Louise. The jury has begun deliberating in the trial of a former Illinois sheriff's deputy accused of shooting and killing a black woman in her own home. The trial began last week for Sean Grayson, who is charged with first-degree murder in the shooting of Sonia Massey in July of last year. She called 911 to report a possible intruder in Springfield, Illinois. This is ABC News. San Francisco has become a big city for autonomous taxi services, and they'll be stepping up their game even more soon. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
Uber announcing San Francisco and the Bay Area will be its first region for its next-generation autonomous robo-taxi program. The robo-taxis are set to launch next year, and it's a partnership with a self-driving tech company called Nuro and the EV company Lucid. Already, robo-taxis from companies like Waymo fill the streets of San Francisco. In Uber's case, Lucid is making an Uber-exclusive robo-taxi vehicle. Uber is aiming to deploy 20,000 of the vehicles in multiple cities in the next 6 years. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Long as we're on the subject of tech, Elon Musk has launched Grokopedia, a crowdsourced online encyclopedia he wants to rival Wikipedia. Musk's AI program is called Grok, but he's not saying if that's what's being used to create the content on the site. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open every day at 11 a.m., the Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or to carry out.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Falling Back will be coming up on November 2nd. Many watches need their batteries replaced at that time. The movement can't sustain an old battery. It needs a new charge. So stop by Pamela's for your battery and watch needs in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
Heartland Christmas Trees, your fresh connection for locally grown real Christmas trees during the holiday season, thanks you for your continued support. A family business serving the area since 1978, Heartland Christmas Trees is proud to provide handmade wreaths, garlands, and decorations along with free shaking and netting of every tree. Watch for Heartland Christmas Trees retail outlets to open during the next holiday season and plan to bring home the tradition of a real tree from Heartland Christmas Trees.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high in the mid to upper 50s today with northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy and chilly tonight, a low of 34. Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 54. Thursday night, partly to mostly cloudy, a small chance of sprinkles and a low of 35. Friday, mostly cloudy and a bit cooler, passing sprinkles possible and a high of 51. And Saturday, 48 with a 30% chance of a few brief light showers.
With the new IHOP value menu, $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage, and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary, no substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we will be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Looking for a little extra with your coffee? Dunkin' Rewards makes every visit more rewarding. Members earn points on every qualifying purchase and can unlock boosted status for even more perks. Enjoy special offers, triple points on select days, and bonus points when you order ahead on the Dunkin' app. Not a member yet? Sign up free on the app or at DunkinRewards.com and get a free medium beverage with your first purchase. Start earning, start sipping, because Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Ready for a better route in your driving career? Bitech Incorporated of Monroe is looking for CDLA drivers with a tanker endorsement to service dairy and food processing facilities across Richland Center, Arena, and nearby communities. They offer both full and part-time positions, complete with training and benefits. If you've got a safe driving record and the motivation to make every mile count, Bitech wants to hear from you. Apply online or call 608-328-8200 or 800-362-3484. By Tech Incorporated, your road to success, a greener way. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Welcome to our morning show today on WRCO Radio. Tis the season. We're going to talk about all of the things going on in the great outdoors, hunting seasons that are going on and coming up. And we have the gang in the studio with us, the WRCO version of Deer Camp today. We have John Clare here. We have Brock Rosenkranz, Dave Barron, and Doug Duren to talk about all the great things in the outdoor. John, you're the kind of the coordinator of this whole gang, so good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be here, and thanks for having us in.
No doubt. Has it been a good fall so far?
It has. I haven't got anything, but the crew that I hunt with out in the Boaz area has been doing pretty well.
Good. Pheasant season?
I haven't pheasant hunted yet.
Nope.
Going to South Dakota duck hunting in a couple of days, so got that to look forward to.
Getting ready to go then. So yep. Good. Weather-wise, it's been a pretty good fall. I don't know if it has for hunting.
The weather's been excellent, with a little bit of cold weather to kind of get the deer moving and keep them from spoiling if you can't get to them right away. So it's been good.
Good. And you're looking forward to the gun deer season coming up in a few weeks?
Yep, that's coming up on the 22nd in a few more weeks, and we'll be ready to go for that too.
Good. Brock Rosencrantz here as well, Wisconsin Field of Fork coordinator for the National Deer Association. Good to see you there, my friend.
Morning, Phil. How are you doing?
Good to have you in here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the last time you were here, you were talking about encouraging young hunters to hunt, and that's one of the things that I think is kind of near and dear to you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually what my entire career is, and I'm pretty lucky to say that. Thanks to Mr. Claire here sitting on my right. He got me into it as a wee little boy, turkey hunting, duck hunting, and pretty cool that it's my job now to take youth and actually primarily adults that haven't been able to get into hunting earlier in life or reinvigorated adults that might have gone as kids or something and now want to go when they're in their 30s or 40s, get a lot of grad students and stuff like that. But it's really cool to be able to share the outdoors and keep the hunting heritage going here in Wisconsin, because that is such a decline that we've seen in the last, especially 10 years. So
you had to learn to hunt for pheasants, I understand. Is that
right? We did one out at Doug Duren's over here mid-September. It was early, but we do get permission from the DNR to do so. We get some DNR game birds, take them out there, and took a bunch of hunters that had already, they were hunters already, but it was people who had never pheasant hunted before. And that's part of the my job, is getting people just into new and different aspects of hunting, different chasing different game species and stuff like that. Everybody was a very skilled hunter in other aspects, but had never pheasant hunted before. So we got 8 or 9 people out and got on a bunch of pheasants, and it was super fun.
When you talk about learning to hunt, I'm thinking about youngsters, but it's of all ages, it sounds like.
Yeah. I actually primarily focus on adults. Adults are able to drive and get to the programs themselves a little easier. So there's been some studies about money being spent on R3. That's what I work on, retention, reactivation, and recruitment. And adults is the best group to focus on. I do also do some family stuff too, because then, you know, adults with their children get a lot of single mothers that come, and then it becomes a whole family thing and they're all doing it together, and then it becomes a generational aspect of it as well.
I'm curious, what's a typical day for you, or is there a typical day, Brock?
Typical day for me, if you ask my fiance, she would say rolling out of bed at 10, but I dispute that to the teeth. no, typical day, I do a lot of planning for these hunts and stuff, but you know, you never know. I might have a butchering workshop one night, and then I'm teaching a hunter safety class the next morning across the state somewhere else. This is a super busy time of year for me, obviously, and then spring and summer are a lot of planning times for me, which also gives me a little bit of time to go trout fishing and get out into the woods myself doing some other hunting, because I actually have not even been out hunting myself yet this year. Well, I did go dove hunting, but don't even have my bow license yet, and I'm a little ashamed to say that.
How did the bow season go this year, John? Did you have some numbers?
So far, so good. We've had 4 bucks taken on our property out there, and I've seen a couple, had some close calls, but no arrows launched myself yet. But we got 4 bucks out there, and 2 of them, unfortunately, were CWD positive. The last 2, we don't know yet. They're still in the process of the testing.
Okay. Doug Duren is here as well. Good to see you again, my friend.
It is nice to be here, and I would say a couple of things about Brock. First of all, it's more than a full-time job. I witness what he does with his work with the hunter recruitment and the Learn to Hunts, and he does such a great job. It's really a pleasure to host events on our farm where Brock's running them. Everything from gun safety to the how to properly walk through a field when pheasant hunting, you know. So like he said, we had a group come out, and these were folks who had all hunted in some other way before but had never pheasant hunted. And it's very different walking across a field with dogs, and you have to think about safety and where you shoot and the cones and all of that. And Dave Barron was a part of that hunt also, and his dog Willow. And I know I disparage Dave a lot because it's good fun, but he also did a great job, and his dog Willow was fantastic, and it was really a great day, and quite honestly, I learned a lot too. So I'm just getting into pheasant hunting again. I used to have dogs. I used to have Labradors. I didn't know there was another kind of dog, actually, but And now I have a lab who's sitting out in the truck waiting for me. And that was kind of his tune-up for going out to South Dakota, where I've been for the last couple of weeks hunting. And it's just been for me, it's been a real interesting fall to kind of be shifting my focus to more of the upland hunting. And I'm looking forward to doing some squirrel hunting. And, you know, deer hunting is still a part of the hunt for me, but not like it used to be.
So you can actually learn from a young guy like Brock, right? Or can you?
Be careful.
No, Brock is great. And he had a great mentor with John, and you can really see that. And I'm grateful to see this happen, and it's a real privilege to know both of these guys and see how they've developed. I mean, this is a relationship that you guys have had for 20 plus years, right?
Yeah.
And John's helped Brock along on some trapping stuff and that sort of thing, and he's a mentor for some of his hunts. And it's really it really is gratifying to see that kind of thing happen. You know, the stuff that Brock is preaching in his Field to Fork and Learn to Hunt and all of that, well, he's lived it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Dave, I can't believe, I don't know if Doug's not feeling well, but the first thing out of his mouth was a compliment for him.
I know.
Something?
I'm waiting for it.
So. Yeah, don't get used to it. Yeah.
Don't get used to it. We certainly want to talk about CWD, though, as well. And you want to talk a little bit about carcasses and all of that stuff this year and, you know, the deer collection and the, you know, samples and things like that?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we don't have a dumpster or a check station in Ithaca this year. Funding didn't allow it. But we still have one in Boaz. We have one in Richland Center. Doug has his in Casanova. And we...
Rockbridge store also.
I forgot. She's got a dumpster?
Not yet.
Okay. But she is doing the sampling there at Rockbridge just during the gun season, though.
Do you mind if I interrupt, Dave?
Go ahead.
The dumpster situation is worth talking about. Funding has been cut. There's a lot of the money that came for testing and carcass disposal came from federal money, federal grants that the DNR got. They were over budget a little bit last year. So, yes, in our area, they cut one kiosk, testing kiosk and dumpster, and that was the one in Ithaca. And then those of us who have dumpsters and host dumpsters, provide dumpsters, were asked not to put them out too early. And since I was gone, mine won't go out until the end of this week, and that's later than usual. It's important to note that testing is still going to be available to everyone who wants to get it done. The dumpsters will be available. You just need to go online to the DNR website and see where they are. Or if you have Onyx Map on your phone, that app on your phone, it'll also tell you where they are. Things are a little bit different, but they're still happening.
The one that's taken away from Ithaca, is that because of maybe wasn't used as much, or is that
no? It's funding.
Just on funding.
Yeah, most of the dumpsters over the years, they get filled twice. Ithaca's got filled 1.5 times. So that was the least popular one. And our test station out in Ithaca, let's see, how do I be nice and say this? Hunters out there don't seem to want to get their deer tested. And so, the people in Ithaca are happy right now that there isn't a dumpster because during warm weather, they get really upset because they do smell. Yeah, but I don't know. Doug was telling me about a gentleman that might be able to help us pay for it. If I could talk the archery club into doing the other half, we'll see.
Okay. Certainly important, though.
Yes, it is.
Right?
You know, you've got to keep the carcasses off the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way that we help slow down CWD. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I said, Richland County is ground zero. You know, he's had positive, Doug's had positive, Brock and I both had positives last year. I don't know. Doug's got more to say about this later on.
Well, so it looks like numbers are up. I know last year numbers were pretty high. You think it could be higher this year?
Numbers are CWD positive, yeah. We had the distinction, Richland County, of having the highest percentage of positive deer tested in all of the counties. That was, I believe, the first year. In the past, it's been Iowa County or Sauk County or Grant County. We do a good job, despite what Dave said. We are probably have the highest percentage of deer tested of the kill, which is great. And it's really for the information for the hunter of getting that deer tested, and then they can make a decision about whether they personally are going to be okay with consuming a positive deer or not. And that's a personal decision that people have to make. In the countywide last year, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I think we were at almost 35%.
Yeah.
And then interestingly, the percentages are dropping a little bit in the southern part of the county, but also the number of deer killed are dropping. And it's pretty easy to put two and two together there. You have fewer deer, the percentage is going to lower, and we're hearing on our CDAC, hearing a fair number of hunters in the southern part of the county are saying, look, we don't have the deer like we used to. And then you kind of drill down on that and ask them questions about, well, why do you think that is? Especially a couple of guys were talking about, well, we haven't shot a doe in 2 years, but our numbers aren't up. And I'm like, well, then why do you think the deer population is going down? And they were folks who maybe were skeptical or even CWD deniers, and they want to talk about predators, they want to talk about habitat, they want to talk about, well, maybe it's EHD and something, a disease that's been around for that long, and at the prevalence that we're working at or looking at, it's going to have a population effect. And what ends up happening is your population is going to get smaller, but it's also going to get younger. I talked to a landowner in northern Iowa County yesterday who essentially has given up deer hunting, or given up on deer hunting. He said he'll continue to hunt, where they used to kill older, mature bucks. They haven't in the last 3 years. And he said that we just don't have older deer, and we don't have the numbers like we used to. And you can look at the numbers, on the historical numbers on the DNR website. Last year in Iowa County was the 45th in the last 45 years since 1980, which doesn't seem like it was 45 years,
no,
but it is. In the last 45 years, last year was their lowest kill in 45 years, total kill. Their gun season buck kill was the lowest since the year I started hunting in 1971. So say what you will and think what you will out there, something is affecting the number of deer and the size of the bucks. And you can talk about all kinds of things, but it's pretty clear that chronic wasting disease is starting to have the effect on deer and deer hunting that was predicted. And that's really only in the last decade since we quit trying to manage it because of the changes in regulation that was brought into place by that legislature at that time and the governor at that time.
Do you think it's going to change? It's not going to happen overnight, is it? Dave?
Well, I was just going to add on to what Doug was saying. I live out in the Ithaca area, and last year we found 5 dead deer within 200 yards of my house, all CWD. You know, so it's really bad in this area. You know, we need to kill more deer.
It's such an odd conversation to have. And first of all, because I'm agreeing with Dave, but also because
did I hear that?
I think you heard that.
Yeah,
that's two good compliments today.
Yeah, I know.
Well, but the thing that's happening, and we had this discussion at our CDAC meeting with the hunters and the public that came in, and they're like, "Well, we're seeing fewer deer," and of course, I'm asking the question, "Why?" And they said, well, it's because you're shooting all those does. Well, it's just not true. We're not shooting as many does as we have in the last 10 years on an annual basis. Our doe kill has been going down. Our buck kill has been going down. I mean, you can look at the numbers, and you know, they vary a little bit, but but it's a downward trend. So that's an interesting problem. What we had folks come in and say, well, then quit giving out so many doe tags. And my response is, it doesn't matter how many doe tags we give out, the hunters aren't killing more does. So we did, on the CDAC, reduce the number of doe tags we gave out from 4 to 3, sort of response to the input from the public. But it's just undeniable now that chronic wasting disease is affecting the deer herd. It's affecting the age structure of the deer, and quite honestly, the same. I've become a repository for pictures. People send me pictures of sick deer or videos of sick deer, and I have them on my own trail cameras. And I also have big, healthy deer, and I have really good numbers up in northeastern Richland County yet. And what's interesting to me about that is people will ask the question, well, how is that possible? I was like, we've been shooting on 500 to 600 acres the last 5 years, 30 to 40 deer a year. We've been attacking the population and lowering it. Lowering the deer population is the only tool that we have to combat chronic wasting disease. But it's incongruous, I guess, that we are having a decline in deer, yet we're in here telling you that we need to kill more deer. And it's just a difficult situation. Yeah. And one that, quite honestly, like my dad used to say, well, what'd you think was going to happen? Mm-hmm. And what we thought was going to happen and what we've been talking about since we've been coming in here talking with you is happening.
Seeing quite a few on the highways. I mean, they're moving and grooving right now. I've been hearing lots of car deer accidents and things like that. So
I'm driving daily, almost, between Spring Green and Cazenovia. I'm shocked at how few deer I see.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm traveling Highway G mostly, and I'm really surprised at how few deer I'm seeing.
And that would be deer country normally.
Well, right? Yeah, it's also the heart of CWD, so... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
To kind of piggyback on what Doug was saying, the CDAC met last spring, of course, and one of the things that we look at is the deer kill from the previous years. And since I've been involved with the CDAC, Deer Advisory Council, we have generally killed about 3,000 does and 3,000 bucks each year. Last year it was 2,500 of each. Yep. And so the population, the deer kill was going down, and again, we took that to mean that the deer population was going down, and so we adjusted the amount of tags from 4 to 3. So each hunter gets 3 tags per license. If you hunt with both a archery equipment and a gun, you have 6 doe tags. And we again encourage, as Doug mentioned, for people to take advantage of that and shoot some antlerless deer. That is one of the few things we can do to help kind of slow down the spread of CWD.
Indeed, and I think last year was pretty good weather-wise, too. You couldn't really blame it on
the weather. Cold. Last year was cold, but other than that, most people sitting on heated shelter of some sort now, yeah. Unlike years ago when everybody just sat against a tree.
Different than it used to be.
Yeah, over the last couple of months, I've traveled to Idaho, Wyoming. We're not the only state that is seeing the increase of CWD. We were taking our boat out at a boat launch, and there was a big sign in Idaho about CWD and getting them tested. I found a place in Wyoming at a boat ramp, again, a big sign saying, get your deer tested. And so we're not the only state that's having this problem. We just were on the forefront of it. Mm-hmm. It's spreading all over the West now, too.
Yeah, and what about, and you mentioned obviously there are more deer up north, Doug, but is it as bad up north of Wisconsin here or not?
I was talking about northern Richland County. Interestingly, if you look at the deer kill in the core area of CWD, Iowa County, Sauk County, Greene, Dane, and if you follow the spread of CWD, which you can, it's growing in prevalence in our area and spreading north, And now Vernon County and Monroe County are seeing their first positives. It's just continuing to spread. They have high deer populations up there. They're also killing a lot of deer. They need to control that population more. It's the only tool that we have. Lowering the population is the only tool that we have to control CWD. There's no cure for it. And so it becomes a question as to whether people are interested in only their experience or the experience now and then for the future as well.
We can take calls if somebody would like to submit a call to our experts here in the studio, 608-647-4155. If you have a question about deer season or any of the seasons coming up. We do have this one. Let's see. It says, how do you feel about bringing back Earn a Buck?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Okay.
Did you have your wife call in?
Yeah, thanks.
Take it.
Who wants it?
Earn a Buck.
Great.
Earn a Buck is the best deer management tool that was ever invented. I was just down in Missouri talking with them about their I was a part of a panel in a CWD discussion down there, and hunters are reluctant to do it because they don't want to have to shoot a doe before they shoot a big giant buck. Oh, I have to pass a buck. And, you heard those stories when we had that here in Wisconsin. And it certainly happened, but it was few and far between. So my advice to them was, if we're going to bring Earn a Buck back, or if you're going to start Earn a Buck in Missouri, start it the year before. So tell hunters, say you're going to have to earn a buck for 2026, but you've got 2025 to do it. And that's the way it was in Wisconsin as well, where if you shot a doe this year, that got you your buck tag for next year.
We also had the early season to be able to earn a doe in October.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brock, but it was not weapon specific. If you kill a doe with your, in those days, if you killed a doe with your bow, that was a buck tag for your gun hunting as well.
Correct.
I'll say something really radical right now. I think that when September 15th comes around and deer hunting starts, that private landowners ought to be able to, and their guests should be able to go out on their land and hunt deer with whatever weapon they choose. We'd get some deer killed that way. I'd be out deer hunting now. I'm not a traditional bow hunter. I have some people who bow hunt my place, and I know they'd be disagreeing with me vehemently right now. But that kind of change in regulation, the traditional deer hunt's gone already. The 9-day, I know guys who were traditional 9-day gun hunters who are now hunting with crossbows during the, and we've seen an uptick in the number of deer killed with a crossbow, but we will never manage deer with a crossbow or a longbow. They just aren't effective enough.
Mm-hmm. Don't get as many.
Exactly right.
Right. Yeah. So,
and to again, piggyback on what they're saying across the room, they Earn a Buck was taken away by the legislature, and if it was up to us on the CDAC, we would have Earn a Buck a while ago, probably. But they the legislature decided after we had it for a couple of years that they were getting too many complaints. And so they removed that from the tools that we have to manage a deer.
So you feel it would encourage or inspire somebody to shoot more deer then?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. And the way to control the population is not by shooting bucks, it's by shooting does, because the bucks, of course, are inseminating all kinds of does when they can, and the does are the ones that bring forth, the next generation.
And John was a science teacher, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you sound good.
The most educated in the room.
Well, obviously. He really is. Yeah. And the wisest, I might add, whereas I'm just the wisest.
Wise.
Boy, you're just full of compliments today, Doug.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess maybe it was the time I just spent out in South Dakota.
Could
reflecting.
Be.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back with more. We're talking about hunting seasons with our crew here in the studio today on the morning show, and we will be right back.
Discover hidden gems and unbeatable deals at the Family Thrift Shop in downtown Richland Center. Find gently used clothing for men, women, and children, plus household goods, seasonal decor, books, and toys. Be sure to check out the Bargain Zone for even bigger savings. Best of all, when you shop, donate, or volunteer, you're giving back, helping support families in need right here in the greater Richland County area. Stop by today and see what treasures you can find at the Family Thrift Shop.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Rockwell Automation in Richland Center is more than just a workplace. It's part of your community. Their team includes coaches, board members, firefighters, and EMTs. People who live, work, and volunteer right here at home. Rockwell is proud to serve and support their neighbors every day, both on and off the job. Now, they'd like to connect even more with local organizations. If you're part of a nonprofit or 501c3 and have volunteer or donation opportunities, Rockwell Automation would love to partner with you. To learn more or get involved, give them a call. 647-9400. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community and dedicated to making a difference.
If you're looking for a fresh career opportunity, Cardinal Glass CG in Spring Green is hiring now. With competitive wages, great benefits, and career advancement opportunities, this is your chance to grow with a leader in the industry. Enjoy a clean, climate-controlled work environment with 8 and 12-hour shifts available, including premium pay for nights and weekends. Plus, start earning vacation hours on day one. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 until 3 at 1024 East Madison Street, Spring Green, or call 608-588-9831 today.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. www.earnabusiness.com and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
A season is full of numbers. 21 days scouting fields, 168 hours in the cab, 540 cups of coffee consumed. At Golden Harvest, we know your most important number doesn't just happen. Every result is built by putting in the work and making the right calls with a partner who knows your acres. See how it all adds up beyond the bushels at goldenharvestseeds.com/harvest.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee, joined by our gang of friends in here, Dave Barron, Doug Duren, Brock Rosencrantz, John Clare. What's your guys' position on Aunt Bee's specialty that she made? Doug?
I recall that she made the greatest apple pie ever.
There you go. Amen. Anybody else, Dave?
I think it's pickles.
Pickles? Oh, man. Well, we're cutting off his microphone for the rest of the show. Oh, well, we're in to talk about all the great things in the great outdoors here. And, Brock, I think we want to talk about some of the upcoming seasons. I know you're excited about the muzzleloader season.
Yeah, just talking about opportunities and time to get out. When people think that there's only 9 days to shoot a deer with a gun, if you only have a rifle, kind of, but then there's the four-day antlerless, week and a half or so after the nine-day, then you got the holiday hunt around here. We're lucky enough to have that. A lot of areas of the state don't. But then also the muzzleloader, you know, for just a few $100, go downtown, buy a muzzleloader, and then you've got a whole nother 10 days of being able to hunt bucks after the coinciding directly after the nine-day. So, you know, you can have 19 straight days of being able to hunt does and bucks if you just have a muzzleloader. So I looked it up. I think it was 4,000 deer were shot with guns last year in the county, and 82 were shot with muzzleloaders. So there's a lot of – it's quiet out in the woods that time of year, and so I just encourage people to, you know, get out there during muzzleloader season, especially if you got one.
Mm-hmm. And some other seasons coming. There's still a turkey season going on.
Turkey season's still going on. I can't remember the final date of that one. Fall turkey is fun, though. That's usually pretty opportunistic. People in their bow stands, you know, plucking a hen or a tom when they're walking by. This is the time of year that you can shoot hens, so remember that. But otherwise, yeah, pheasant season's going on right now. Duck season's still going on. Goose. Dove might be closed by now, but otherwise a lot of stuff to be getting out in the woods and wetlands. Squirrels, thank you, Doug. Rabbits should be open. Coon hunting's open. Trapping seasons are starting soon. A lot going on this time of year, so pay homage to our outdoor heritage here in Wisconsin and do your part in getting out and protecting that heritage.
John, you want to talk a little bit about wildlife managing as well?
Yeah, the wildlife manager here in Richland County is Annie McDonald, and she could not be with us, but she did send me some information. As of the 21st, which is about a week ago now, there were 317 deer registered in Richland County. And of those 317, the sampling was done on 81, and of those 81, 29 were positive. And this time of year, the harvest tends to be kind of buck heavy because people want to get a buck, of course, and will shoot a doe maybe later if they don't see any bucks. And so that kind of tells us that the CW is still there, CWD is still there, and those numbers will change throughout the season as more and more deer are tested and put through the system.
Yeah. Sad thing is, it looks like a healthy deer, but you just don't know, do you?
They look very, very healthy a lot of times, and it turns out one of the heaviest deer I had the opportunity to help drag out of the woods, we would have never thought that was. It was shot on the opening day of the bow season, and it was a big, healthy buck, and it tested positive.
Because it varies how long it takes to affect them where it's noticeable.
It takes
right?
about a year and a half once they test positive for them to die. So it's a long, drawn-out process, and a lot of them look very healthy but still test positive.
Doug Duren, of course, is a star of stage and screen as well. You know, you see him on the Meat Eater podcast and whatnot. You said you were out in South Dakota, is that correct, recently?
Yeah, I was out and got back Monday. What's today, Wednesday? I got back Monday. I was out there for 12 days, or was gone for 12 days. We hunted seven, I guess, and pheasant hunted, and it was great fun. I participated in the South Dakota Governor's Hunt and for a fundraiser for a part of their second century habitat project. South Dakota's an incredible state for pheasant hunting, and quite honestly, we also saw some really nice deer. It's funny, you're walking along through a field and a grassy field or on the edge of a cornfield, and around here, it's not the kind of place you'd necessarily expect to see a deer, and then you're realizing, man, there's a lot of deer beds around me, and then a big old giant buck or a doe gets up, and our host there was like, yeah, well, that's kind of how it is here. They just use the habitat differently. And then we had a discussion about deer population and then disease, and that's because they have a little bit of CWD more in the western part of the state, but the population is much lower, deer per square mile than what we have here. And a part of that, the reason for that is they have so little what we would consider habitat, whereas 85% of our county or 80% of our county is considered deer habitat. And when you're running numbers, it used to be 65, 70 deer per square mile, and now it's more like 55 to 65 based on the estimates. The numbers are just, it's a completely different ball game. But I had a great time out there, and was out there with one of my sponsors, Can-Am, and we did some podcasts, we did some filming, we did all kinds of great stuff, and I just feel really fortunate to get to do that.
When they film, how much of it is shown? I mean, do they film all the time when you're out there, and they chop it up, or how does it go?
Like when we did previous Meat Eater episodes, this wasn't for Meat Eater. This is for Can-Am and then for Sharing the Land. But they would come and we would film 8 hours a day. I mean, there's always a cameraman with you, right? I mean, that's what it is, or a camera person, I should say, because a couple of really great shooters who are women. Shooters, one of those technical terms for people who run cameras. There's a camera on you for 3 days, so 24 hours, and there's one with Steve and one with, for a 22-minute show. Interestingly, a few years ago, it's actually been a decade ago now, we did a segment that was duck hunting before we did a deer hunt, and the duck hunt on the show lasted about as long as the duck hunt lasted when we went out there. Steve and I sat down, the cameraman got set, and mallards just started piling in. And I mean, it was just Shangri-La there for a minute, and that all sort of showed up. Speaking of Meat Eater, let me plug this. They have a YouTube channel. That's where most of their you can see all their episodes now. And on that Meat Eater channel, there's a section called Meat Eater Sheds. And next, whatever November 3rd is,
Monday,
there will be one release that we shot on the farm. And it's the first one that doesn't involve hunting. It's about the farm, about the Duren farm, and about me, I guess, but about conservation. And if you remember the old MTV Cribs thing, this is sort of a takeoff on that. But then you go into people's sheds. I got a comment from Steve Ranella who said, What did you do to your shed? Because he saw all the rough cut and everything. He wasn't there. It was just me on the camera. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it looks like a Coast Guard station in there. Because usually my shed looks like a typical farm shed that, you know, is just stuff all over the place. And before that, we cleaned it up. But so November 3rd, I'm excited. I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to see it because the focus is on conservation and land and private land and private land access rather than on hunting.
Right. You want to put a plug in for landowners and, you know, people hunting.
Thanks for reminding me. I thought maybe Dave would, but landowners, one of the things that I'd really encourage you to do is to open your property up, not wide open, just open it up to hunters who you feel comfortable with, and especially if you're looking to harvest antlerless deer. I understand if you don't want somebody to take a buck off your place, if you're into the, you know, the whole buck thing and all of that. But there's opportunity, you know, there's plenty of people out there who want to harvest an antlerless deer for their freezer. Dave Barron's a great example of that. Dave's hunted my place in the late seasons several times, and when he can shoot straight, he he's harvested some antlerless deer. And he's always willing to come up and help me with whatever little projects that I have. And he and Brock actually are both examples of this program that I started called Sharing the Land. And it's based on Elder Leopold's Riley Game Cooperative. And essentially it's the stuff that we used to do when we were kids, right? That you could, you'd help somebody out, a farmer out with some fencing or baling hay or whatever they needed. And then when fall came around, it was, hey, mind if I go squirrel hunting? Mind if I go grouse hunting when we had grouse? How about deer hunting? And we've set up a process in sharingtheland.com where access seekers fill out a conservation resume, which is what it sounds like, and then the landowner does a landowner profile, and we match those folks up. So it's a great opportunity, and as you might imagine, there's lots of people who are looking for access and not as many landowners who are willing to open their place up. John Clear is one of our Sharing the Land landowners as well, and I think he's had a really good experience with it.
It's been really good, and what we did, our problem is that we have, it's a family property, and we're all in our 70s, or pretty close, and so we're looking for some help. And we signed on two young guys that come out and help. So far, we're able to keep up. My brothers and I are able to keep up. But we're looking to the future, and that's not always going to be the case. And so we invite those young guys to come help set tree stands and do that kind of thing one day a year. And the one young man just harvested a buck a couple of weeks ago off our property. And we're glad to see them and help them. And it's our way of kind of giving back and allowing people to come use our property and with a little bit of their assistance now and then.
And I would say that I had a really nice conversation with the young man that harvested that buck on John's. And I said, oh, really, what kind of projects have you been working on? And he goes, well, he's mostly just had us help with deer hunting stuff so far. I said, well, you know, volunteer for other stuff on his property. But I said, here's the other thing. And I told him the story about Brock. The reason Brock and I got together as a landowner and someone who allowed access is that he was volunteering for the Conservation Congress. And if you've ever been to a Conservation Congress meeting, it's more guys that look like Dave and John and I, older guys who, you know, like to continue to be involved in stuff. But here's Brock. And this was 10 years ago. So he's this 21, 22-year-old kid, you know, and he's there in this whole thing. And again, great credit to John for, you know, mentoring him in that regard. And he was a member of the Conservation Congress. The following year, there he is again. And, you know, I've known him a little bit now, and I asked him, you know, how's your turkey season looking? And he goes, well, you know, I lost access to this private land that I had because it got sold, but I'll figure something out. And I said to him, well, Brock, if you need a place to turkey hunt, you're welcome at my place if you don't find another one. And I think at that moment he quit looking for another place in turkey.
Probably, yeah.
And he got one, and he's been a part of it ever since. And I can't say enough about not just the contributions that he has made to conservation in a bigger sense, but also what he's done on the farm for me. I was gone, and you know, he stopped by and checked on the farm, and he's checked on the kiosk and does that sort of thing. So landowners rewarding people who are making a contribution to conservation, either on their property or otherwise. So the young man that John had on, I said, you know, there are other things that you can do too, and let John know you're doing it. You can volunteer for the Conservation Congress. You can go to some of these public land cleanup days. You can, you know, be involved with the with conservation in a lot of different ways and add that to your conservation resume.
We do have a caller that put this one toward the program today. What do you think of people digging water holes for attracting deer?
Well, I don't dig water holes, but we use half of a barrel for water.
Okay.
I know there was a push by the DNR to make that illegal, but deer drink out of, I've seen deer drink out of stumps filled with water. And the idea there, of course, is, we don't allow baiting because of CWD, but deer can swap saliva in water holes too. So some of us use water holes, some have chosen not to. The water holes we have had, we see deer using them now and then and sometimes have cameras above them. But there's enough water in there usually that shouldn't be much of a problem.
Okay.
It's an open question. We know that a bait pile where they're exchanging, spits being exchanged, that's a likely vector for the transfer of CWD. It makes sense to me that the water holes would also be a place. So for the first time in all the years that I've known him, I'm going to disagree with John Clare. I filled in the ones that, even the natural ones that we had. Plenty of water running through a property. It's a risk. But like so many things with this kind of disease is, well, you know, what risk? I mean, there's the idea that it's still, you know, that it's on the, in the ground and the plants take it up. But we don't know what that load is, right? So it's really about risk reduction. And so I don't do it, but it's not illegal. And I don't think it's necessarily immoral. Personally, I don't do it, but it's sort of like the testing thing, right? It's a personal choice. There's reason to get your deer tested. You know, there's incentive, and that incentive is your deer tests positive, you get another tag. And if it's an antlerless deer, you get either deer. In effect, get another buck tag. And then the other part is that you know as a hunter then whether that deer was positive or not, and you can with confidence feed it to people and feel like, okay, I'm not feeding something to folks that had a disease. Now, the disease has never crossed. It's a prion disease, and we have prions in our body too, a protein-based disease. It's never crossed the species barrier, so there are some folks who might be out there going, well, geez, why are you even worried about it? Well, because it's a lottery, and at some point there will probably be a winner in that lottery, an unfortunate one.
Yeah, but do you want to be the number one person?
Well, right. And the other part of that is it's a personal choice, and that's fine. If you choose to eat it, great. You are not penalized if you discard that deer and you get a replacement tag and you can shoot another one. I would just urge people to not feed that to anyone unknowingly.
Yeah, good point. Doe Derby. I think we wanted to talk about that before we wrapped up today.
Oh, yeah, we're about done, aren't we? Here I, once again, have taken over the microphone. We will, once again, we are conducting once again this year the Doe Derby. It's based at the Durin Farm, but at the other kiosks in Richland and a couple in Sauk, we will have tickets there available. There's no entry fee or anything like that. You kill an antlerless deer, you get it tested for CWD, and there's a couple of tickets in there. And you fill them out. I would encourage a hunter to fill one of them out for themselves, and the second one fill out for maybe a mentor of yours or the landowner that allowed you to hunt there. If you want to fill them both out for yourself, that's fine. We have fabulous prizes again this year. A rifle from Savage with a Vortex scope. We have a blind coming from 04 Outdoors. Some signed books by Steve Ranella. Some First Light gift certificates, And more prizes to be announced.
TBA. Well, we hope it's a great season. When you think of old tired carcasses, you think of Dave Barron, right?
Oh, you got to get one in.
Well,
this
I thought they were too kind to
you. At least you didn't say smelly.
No, I didn't say that. but very true, right? We want to start looking for the for those collection areas too, right?
Yes, yeah, I think
exactly. Anything else anybody would like to add here today?
Just everybody should get out hunting and have a good time.
Yeah, have a safe hunt, guys.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. John Clare, Brock Rosenkranz, Dave Barron, and Doug Duren joining us on this portion of the morning show.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is overflowing with the flavors of fall. Stop by and pick up Honeycrisp, Cortland, Macintosh, and all your favorite apples. The bakery's full of apple cider donuts, along with take-and-bake pies and gooey caramel apples. And while you're there, fill your basket with fresh apple cider, cranberries, pumpkin, squash, and other seasonal goodies. And here's the best part. Every Tuesday, enjoy 10% off all apple purchases. Savor the season at Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every bite tastes like autumn.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
Driftless Area Group is your local land surveying firm. Equipped with the latest and greatest technology, we guarantee to get the job done right and in a timely manner. As local professionals, we are trusted by the community and do our best to build relationships with every client we work with. If you are looking for a local land surveyor, give Driftless Area a call today at 608-647-9050 or check out our website at driftlessarellc.com.
October 23rd marks the start of Red Ribbon Week, a national drug prevention awareness campaign supporting youth and adults. The Richland Hospital and Clinics joins the work of Partners for Prevention in helping take a stand for our future. Saying no to drugs isn't just a choice. It's a commitment to your dreams, your health, and your community. Join millions across the country in celebrating a drug-free life.
Keep your operation running strong during harvest season with Meyer Oil and LP. Since 1956, families and farms have trusted locally owned Meyer Oil and LP for prompt, reliable, and friendly service. They deliver diesel, gasoline, and propane right to your home or farm, helping you stay fueled and on track. Call Meyer Oil and LP today at 524-3914. From everyone at Meyer Oil and LP, here's wishing farmers a safe and successful harvest.